J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
How's your home, family? How's your home, family? How's your home, family? How is your whole family? How's your home?
How's your home?
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, July 12, 2022, 123 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. We have not spoken since last Thursday. That's because Friday I was in transit. Since I've talked to you last week, I've done a lot. I've done a real lot, including driving about 850 miles. We stopped off in Atlanta halfway. That was on Friday. And you probably saw some of the pictures on Facebook. We were, on Lake Lanier with some friends from St. Louis who live in Atlanta now. So they took us out on the water, and that was really cool. And especially cool was the fact that we got into the car and the heavens opened. And there was something like 3 inches of rain that came down over the course of the next, 6 to 8 hours. And it just, it was rattling the house. They had a lovely little guest room for us, and it was like the whole house was shaking. I was thinking, this happened here often. So we did that and then continued the drive on Saturday. Saw El Monstero, another perfect show out at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on Saturday night. Maybe you were there. And then, everything's a blur. After that, try to watch a couple of ball games and stuff like that. Dodgers are in town. Cardinals have a new 2-game winning streak. They actually look good the last 2 days after looking miserable and people just going there limping into the All-Star break. But it was actually fun. The last 2 games, the ballpark Sunday and then last night, were really, really fun for fans. I hardly know where to start, though, today because of everything that is going on. We have more hearings today. The January 6th committee is going to be, the hearings today are during the afternoon. They're supposed to be in prime time on Thursday, but now I'm hearing that might not happen. I don't know, but the conflicting reports on that, I'll have to double check it maybe when we get done with the podcast here, unless there's some news that pops. But the big one today is going to be the investigating committee is going to link the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers directly, presumably at least, directly to a couple of politicians and White House operatives, people who are linked to stuff going on in the Oval Office. It should be an absolute blast. Should be a blast today. And then, you know, you've heard me talking about this. I mean, to be honest, it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I better back off of this, because people, even if it is very, very fascinating and interesting and things you could have conversations about into the wee hours of the morning. And at the same time, you know, I don't know what people's diet is for this, what their appetite is for this. When you start talking about things that are this complicated, I'm talking about this Webb telescope. We got the first picture yesterday. I guess they released a couple of more last night that I have not seen yet. But this is the thing that was launched back in December that I was telling you about. And the thing's going to be able to look back in time. This isn't just, we launched a telescope like the Hubble, which actually was a failure. If you remember when the Hubble was launched back in, I think that was the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. The Hubble went up and there was something wrong with it. And, you couldn't even have like a speck of dust on this thing or it wouldn't work. And it was a failure for the first couple of years. And then they sent another crew up to fix the problem with the Hubble. And then it started producing all of these pictures. But this, and the wingspan on this thing, the Hubble was 8 feet, 8 feet. This thing that is up there right now is 24 feet. That's how big the camera basically is. The Hubble was like an 8 foot wide camera. This is a 24 foot wide camera. And it's looking back like 650 million years. I mean, it's shortly after where scientists believe the Big Bang took place. Although, if you talk to people in this country, there's, what did they say, something like a third of all people responding believe that man has only been on the planet for 10,000 years. And all that comes from religious stuff. You know, there's no science involved. It just comes from religion. This is just the first picture, just the first one. And they basically said that what you have to try, again, this is, like I said, you could talk about this until the wee hours of the morning, but you're looking up there at what are billions of galaxies, not billions of stars, billions of galaxies. And each one of those galaxies probably also has billions of stars revolving around it. People used to make fun of Carl Sagan all the time because he was like the earlier version of Neil deGrasse Tyson. And Carl Sagan had sort of an odd demeanor about him. He was billions and billions. Johnny Carson, who was a big astronomer type guy, he would... there were stories of Morgan Fairchild. Morgan Fairchild, boy, I'm really using contemporary references today. Morgan Fairchild, he was dating her, and she said the first time he went up to his house in Malibu, and again, that's the place if you're going to, you know, get into astronomy, live right near the ocean because you get a much clearer sky. And he's like, yeah, first time I went up there, he showed me the rings of Saturn, and he made like $20 million a year, and he was on TV, and he was famous. And how do you think the rest of that night went? How the hell are people like you and me guys supposed to compete with something like that? But that's why we weren't dating Morgan Fairchild back in the 80s. Anyhow, I digress. And by the way, I do have something in common with Johnny Carson in that he and I both have felt up Morgan Fairchild. I've told this story a couple of times in the past. She was in St. Louis back in the late 80s, and I was, I was working at Channel 5 at the time doing the entertainment stuff. So she was performing, I think it was at the Muni, but she was staying at the Chase. So she agreed to a television interview, so we went up to some little suite at the Chase Park Plaza, and I did the interview. And when the interview was all over, we're breaking up the equipment and everything and just chit-chat. And I said, would you mind taking a photograph with me? She goes, sure, why not? Well, she stood up. And at that point, that's when you realize how tiny she is. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they're sitting down, you don't really realize that they're just tiny people. So she gets up and I'm like, oh my God. I didn't say it to her, but I'm thinking to myself, you are really, really tiny. And she had just, I believe, had a, and I would use the term successful, boob job. And so she stands up, and she was wearing a knit top without a bra. So remember all this. So I get around her, and I put my arm around her, but she was so tiny. She was so little that when I put my arm around her, my arm went like completely around her and around the front of her, and my hand came right down on her right boob. And I pulled away really fast, like, you know, what do you do? It's clearly an accident. And she knew it was an accident too, but she still sort of looked at me like, yeah, I know it was an accident. And I was like, I didn't say anything, but so I was like, let's try that again. And I put my arm around, and I did exactly the same thing again. So I did it twice, but I did get a good picture out of it. And then I just ran before she called security or something. But how did Morgan Fairchild, tell us? Oh, that's right, telescopes. Okay. I just went away there for a couple of minutes. Anyhow, so you're seeing not the light being reflected off of stars and galaxies that's going on right now. You're seeing what was there 650 million years ago. So you're looking back in time, and beyond that, I don't possess the intelligence to be able to have this conversation any further than that. But it is just mind-boggling stuff. By the way, a few of the galaxies near the middle of that picture they released yesterday look warped because of something called gravitational lensing. Basically, the gravity of galaxies in the foreground are bending the light of other galaxies behind them. So before the idiots on the internet start trying to poke holes in the idea that, well, you can see, obviously, this has been doctored, this has been photoshopped, and it's like, oh, shut up, this is science, just be quiet! Alrighty. Speaking of little people, and I wasn't going to do this story until later, but given the fact that we were talking about the Morgan Fairchild thing, Simone Biles, the Olympic gymnast, she's on a flight. She's coming home after receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You know, you're in the Olympics, you have all these gold medals. Now the President of the United States gives you the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You are really, really feeling good about yourself. People are coming to you saying, will you please represent our product? We're doing television commercials, and we're going to pay you millions of dollars to be able to do this. She's just sitting there going, this is just great. This is great. She's in her 20s, and she's got her whole life in front of her, and already things are going so well, it's just hard to imagine things being any better until the flight attendant on the plane mistakes her for a child because she's 4'8". And the flight attendant comes over, this is a true story, comes over and gives her a coloring book. Things had been going so well. Since I hit town, I've been running around seeing a lot of my friends. Some of my friends are still working in local media, radio, television, whatever, particularly with TV. I feel like I owe them a little bit of an explanation. You know, if you follow me on Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran, you know that I put up all of these screenshots of misspelled words and awkward situations and then just dumb stuff that goes on when you're working in live television. You know, you're working in live TV or live radio for that matter, but anything like that. And theater, obviously, is taken into account on this too. But just, you know, mistakes happen. Things happen. And it is an alarming trend in local media that that spelling has fall into a level of importance that is truly disappointing. Now, when I worked in television, in St. Louis for something like 16 or 17 years, three different stations, three different television newsrooms, it's very exciting to be around people who are smart, who are media savvy, who really have pretty high ideals for the most part. You run into a numbskull every once in a while, and you're like, oh, for God's sakes, just... who are you trying to impress, and why do you think this dumb thing you're doing is going to impress anybody? But for the most part, the overwhelming majority of people who work in or who worked in television when I was in it were serious journalists, and it was really, really exciting to be around. And it also raises the level of your own work because you're around people who you want to be on the same level with, and to be able to do that, You have to take the shit seriously, you know, especially when you're coming in like me. Yeah, and there were people who just despised the very idea that I was in their television newsroom. They just hated me from what they knew on radio, and they did not respect me, and they didn't treat me well. But those people, I just stayed away from them. And the overwhelming majority of people I got along with great. It's like anything else. As you get to know people, maybe preconceived notions begin to fall, and you really start having a serious relationship with people, and you get to know people, and it's, again, I use the word exciting. It was very, very exciting to be around, especially in those Channel 5 days back in the 80s. I was there from 85 to 1990, and that was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Channel 4 had a lot of people throwing themselves at the system like a mackerel, you know, trying to get up the waterfall. That was a little bit of a screwy place. And then Fox 2 was, back to really, really good, serious journalists again. But like a lot of things, the television business has really changed, and they're hiring people. I mean, St. Louis used to be a place where it might be your second, maybe your third or fourth job. Now, I think it's a lot of people's second job, and it shows when you watch, because it's sloppy and people are inexperienced and they say stupid things and everything like that. And it's just a function of the way they're doing business now. But truthfully, I put those things up not necessarily to make fun of the reporters. I do it to make fun of how badly television newsroom staffs have been slashed. You know, you used to walk into a newsroom and it looked like deadline week of the high school yearbook office every day. And the closer you got to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the crazier it got in there. Now you go into a television newsroom and it's like, is there a gas leak or something? Where'd everybody go? That's just it. There's just nobody left anymore. It's the reporters, and there's like no support staff anymore. People are, you know, writing their stories, they're shooting their stories, they're editing their stories, and they do the story on television. And there's really nobody helping them anymore. And on the weekends, oh, Jesus, you don't even want to know. So when I put up those screenshots of all the stupid things that happen on the television news, particularly locally, I'm not really making fun of the reporters. They're really up against it. I mean, they are really up against it. And they're not getting that much help anymore, and it's just easy to make a mistake. And it's, you know, in all those years that I worked in television news, yeah, sometimes you'd turn a story in and the news director or a producer or just somebody who was in between you, you know, in between you submitting the story and it getting on the air, usually there were at least one or two people in between that who would look at it first before it went out over the air. And there were many times where a producer grabbed me and said, whoa, hold it. And they would point out something and it made perfect sense to me. But then I realized, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, that's not going to make any sense to anybody else. You got to change the way that's written. And you would thank the person because you don't want to look like an idiot on television. Well, now you just don't have much of that anymore. There's nobody sort of in between the reporter and the story going out over the air. So there's all these mistakes. Well, they're working these people to the bone. And like I said, on weekends, you don't even want to know. Well, look at the television news sometime and go, hey, wait a minute. You were on last night at 11 o'clock because the late local news was delayed an hour because a game went long or something like that on a Saturday. And it's 5 o'clock the next morning, and there's the same anchor person, weather person, sports guy or gal. And when you're thinking about it, like, well, now, wait a minute. Let's just say that the news ended at 11:30 on Saturday night. All right, now you just sort of got to mop up. You got to drive home, take off all that gooey makeup you have to wear on television, get yourself undressed, get a couple hours of sleep. Your alarm is going to go off again at like 2:30 in the morning. Now you got to get up, shower, get yourself together, get dressed, drive back down to the station, get your makeup on, write a bunch of stories, look at the scripts, get yourself ready to get on television, because once the camera goes on the set, you're on for an hour, or in some cases, 2 hours. How could anybody be fresh being in a situation like that. And that's why what you're seeing on television is people who are so young. It's like 22, 23-year-old people, because remember when you were that age, you had a bunch of energy and you would do things like stay up all night and then go to work the next day. I mean, you could do things like that. And also just the amount of abuse that's involved, because as you get a little older, you're like, hey, wait a minute, I'm not doing this. This is like inhumane. Treat me like a human being here. That's why you either have to make it, you got to make a decision. You got to say, okay, I'm going to stay in television news, or as so many people do, they work a couple of years in TV news and then they take some cushy PR job, you know, for the local airport or the local police department or the local school board or something like that. And that's what a lot of people do. I mean, I could give you a dozen names off the top of my head of people who you watched on television for a couple of years in St. Louis, and then they just said, fuck this. You know, I'm going to get a normal job where I work 8 to 5. I have weekends off, and I can have a life and a family. My sister and brother-in-law were both in the high-powered advertising world for many, many years in places like Chicago and Dallas and Detroit. My brother-in-law worked on Budweiser. My sister worked on Coca-Cola, you know, stuff like that. You turn 40 years old, and that's it. You're gone. That's not supposed to be legal, but they do it anyhow. And it's just like, look, everybody seems to know how the game is played. They get what they can get out of you at a very early age. You know, you're 40 years old, and it's like, you're done. Now, back to local TV news. So you reach a point where you say, all right, I'm either going to continue to do this and be treated very, very poorly, and at some point they're just going to axe me anyhow, or you take one of those cushy PR jobs, or you have to go to a bigger city for more money, where you are also treated better and where there's more of a support staff. So that's really how the whole thing works. That having been said, I got to play this thing. Where is this woman from? The CBS affiliate in Albany, New York. All right, Channel 6. Her name is Heather Kovar. She's been there for a number of years. Now, I'm going to leave it up to you as to whether or not what you're about to hear is the result of somebody who just didn't have enough sleep, or somebody who is really liquored up, or it could be a combination of the two. But this went out over the air on television in Albany, New York. Here's Heather Kovar.
More than 50 million people across the country's southeast are under warnings for excessive heat. And boy, don't you know that? 105 degrees in Texas today. I just spoke with my mother. That's what she's dealing with. It's a major heat wave. And it is it's just hitting everywhere. We're so lucky. It's only 80 degrees here. We are really lucky here in the capital region. I mean, let me tell you about that. These areas are reaching such areas. I mean, it's Houston, Austin, San Antonio. I mean, they're not expected. It has happened. Like, you don't need us telling you that it's bad. It's like people are being told to, like, stay inside, drink a lot of water. And we are just lucky. This weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here with you. Craig Adams. Why did I say that? Of course, clearly, like, here we're taking a live look over downtown Albany. And of course, just like me, meteorologist Craig Gold is working a double shift. And so he's in. And we've been tracking this. And, you know, we've been talking about just, like, what it's been like across the country and the different reasons that why it's so hot in other areas. And we're having really nice weather here. So let's get over to Craig Gold. Hey,
yep.
Craig.
All right. Good evening, Heather. And yeah, the weather has been quite nice here across the Northeast.
Yeah, Craig, the weather guy, is thinking, don't get me dragged into this situation. Pretty rough stuff there. Pretty rough stuff. All right. Driving around yesterday, listening to all of the different radio stations, I'm frequently asked by friends who are of a different political persuasion whether or not I listen to both sides. They seem to be very interested in whether or not I'm also checking out their version of what they believe with regard to politics and just the way things are going in the country. And the answer to that question is yes, I do. And in fact, yesterday I was listening to Annie Fry on 97.1 in St. Louis, a station known for being one of those places where you hear stuff that makes you sort of shake your head going, huh, that can't be right. And then when you look it up, you realize, yeah, it wasn't right. Yesterday, they were talking about E85 gasoline. Pull up to the pump, particularly the Midwest, like 10% ethanol. Okay, I've heard about this, and it's less expensive. That's what gets your sort of catches your eye immediately. And so you pump the gas and you drive off and you never really think about it again. Aha! But thanks to the solid, hard-nosed, investigative journalistic work of the staff at 97.1 FM, they have uncovered the scandal involving ethanol. And as Annie said, yes, Annie is a beautiful gal. She's pretty, she's tall, she's very friendly. Met her once or twice, talked to her online a couple of times. I completely and totally disagree with 99% of what she says, but she's a nice person. But we talked about Annie a couple of months ago when she talked about how she there was an attempted carjacking involving her, and that's why she felt like she needed a gun. She was pumping gas at that gasoline station about, what is it, 2-3 blocks south of Busch Stadium. Everybody knows where it is. Right under the White Castle. Middle of the afternoon, she's pumping gas. Somebody quickly approaches her SUV. Her kids are in the back seat, and I think it was the guy stole her purse, and she's thinking, gosh, if I just was able to carry a weapon, I could have stopped this. And after I heard that story, I thought to myself, no, just let's back up a little bit, Annie. Before Annie gets her gun, I made that up. Have you thought this out? Because if I'm just walking down the street, I'm riding my bicycle, maybe I'm walking to my parking spot after the ball game, maybe I'm coming out of a restaurant, whatever. You really think that being engaged in a gunfight with stray bullets flying around downtown is a really good idea? And I don't like it either. I don't like the fact that there's carjackings and purse snatchings and all that sort of stuff too, but there's a limit to what is sensible in terms of dealing with the problem. Well, yesterday, Annie just went on the air railing against ethanol-based gasoline and said that it makes your car burn up. It burns up your engine, destroys your car. And you wouldn't believe this, but when you look that up, it turns out to be completely false. As a matter of fact, not only is it not true, it is the diametric opposite of truth, because that 10% ethanol makes your engine run cooler. And if you know anything about physics, you know, when you start talking about intense heat in a combustible engine, if there's something you can do to bring the temperature down, that's why you have a light on your dashboard. If your engine gets too hot, you know, you need to know about that. That's why you have coolant going through your radiator. That's what a radiator is, okay? So anything that can be done to bring down the temperature of anything that is burning, just in general, you don't even have to limit it to talk about combustible engines. Just anything that makes a fire run cooler is going to be good. So it only stands to reason that if the ethanol makes your car run cooler, then you don't get as you also don't get as much buildup of all that icky black stuff. I hate to dazzle you with technical terms regarding combustible engines, but you know, all that slop and all that black stuff that gets in your engine and your fuel lines and everything like that, well, you don't get as much of it. You wonder what other dumb things are going to be said on that radio station, and you find out that Fox News is running around now telling people that the gasoline prices are falling too fast, and that's hurting the economy, and it's hurting the small business owners. So they get you coming and going. The gasoline prices are too high. Bad. Prices of gasoline are coming down too fast. Bad. I guess they need something to talk about. Today is Amazon Prime Day, or technically day one of Prime Day. It runs through tomorrow night. 3 in 5 Amazon customers said yes when they were asked when Amazon Prime Day started, and most found out directly from Amazon. 49% saw the date on their website while doing some non-Prime Day shopping. Over half of people who know about Prime Day plan to shop today or tomorrow. 57 yes, 36 said maybe, 7% said no. The top 5 types of products we bought last year on Amazon Prime Day: health and beauty stuff, electronics, clothes, household essentials, and home and garden stuff, video games, groceries, and pet products also made up the top 10 list. There's a good chance you're not the only one in your home buying stuff. The average was 2.9 orders per household last year, and 1 in 6 placed at least 5. The average order, $54, which included 2 items. Are Prime Day deals better than Black Friday deals? That's the question everybody has. Most Amazon shoppers say no. Black Friday still has the best deals. Prime Day and Cyber Monday tied for second. As you are shopping online, keep this in mind. Just last month alone, just the month of June, 1,900 fake Amazon domains were registered. 1,900 in just 1 month. So when you're shopping Amazon, make sure it's really Amazon and not the people trying to take your money and give you nothing in return. This is pretty brilliant, and you probably think so, especially so if you are a member of the pro-choice movement. There's an organization in Southern Texas that basically says, okay, Roe v. Wade overturned. What can we... Oh, I have an idea. Let's get a boat. It worked for the casinos. And so, by next year at this time, floating off the coast of Southern Texas, there will be an abortion boat. And you go to Texas, they pick you up on the shore, they take you out to the boat, you have your procedure, and then you come back, and that gets around the situation. Today is the anniversary of something that happened in 1979, even though it happened at an otherwise inconsequential Chicago White Sox game 43 years ago in 1979. It was Disco Demolition Night. The idea was a doubleheader of the White Sox, and what was supposed to happen was you bring out your disco records and you get a discounted ticket, and then between games... Chicago disc jockey Steve Dahl, who's working at the radio station The Loop, that was a station I worked at back in the late 70s, he's going to blow them up. He's going to take them out to second base, and they're going to do a big military-type thing, and you're going to put all these albums out, these vinyl albums, and we're going to blow them up. Nobody with the White Sox organization or with the radio station thought to themselves, now, after we blow up these records, isn't that going to send... literally hundreds of thousands of vinyl shards all over the field? Nobody thought of that. And so, after the disc jockey left, after he blew up the albums, 7,000 fans charged the field and continued to throw and burn even more records. So much chaos ensued that the second game of the doubleheader had to be forfeited by the White Sox, and oh, everybody went away happy that night. And this is also the anniversary of Axl Rose, who, after he started a riot at Riverport, just went along his merry way, continuing his tour of the United States until at JFK Airport, the cops grabbed him and said, "Come with us, Axl." I still can't believe after all of that. And then years after, he's still on stage in other cities wearing a t-shirt that says St. Louis sucks. And, you know, Guns N' Roses comes back to St. Louis, and people start cheering. You know, 20,000 people buying tickets, and it's like, oh, yeah, there you are, Axl. God, we love you. What am I missing here? What am I missing? And if you hear voices in the background here today, this is going to be the situation for the next couple of weeks, because we are in St. Louis getting ready to launch the new radio station here any day, just waiting for the FCC to approve the paperwork, and so I'm set up in my mother-in-law's family room here, and it's right adjacent to the kitchen, and so you might hear voices in the background, and that's just fine anyhow, because I've already run over like 7 minutes here. The podcast is supposed to be 30 minutes, and we're way past that already, and, you know, frankly, I got to get back to the TV, because I want to watch Eric Schmidt and his flamethrower. That's exciting. It's exciting stuff. So, going to hit the pool today, and it should be a magnificent day. And what a night at the ballpark. It's going to be when the Dodgers are in town for the next 3 nights, and the weather is supposed to be absolutely magnificent. Had Lion's Choice yesterday for lunch for the first time in 6 months. Oh, that is good for the soul. We had Mission Taco last night in Kirkwood, just sort of running around enjoying the city, and get to do that here for at least the next few weeks. So I'll get back to the TV. You get back to your computer and Amazon Prime Day. By the way, to honor the occasion, every Amazon employee is getting a brand new Snapple bottle to use as a toilet at the factory. So see, it's good news for everybody. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast is done for, what is today? Tuesday, July 12th, 2022, 123 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. Although, I don't know, after the testimony today from the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, who knows? Maybe we'll speed up that process. Who knows, right? We are here every weekday morning, right at about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. If you miss anything, don't worry. We have everything archived right here. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Thanks to Everett Marshall, our technical wizard involved in all of this, and to Skip Weber and Weber Chevrolet for his support, all the fine men and women. And by the way, that Chevy Equinox drove it all the way from Florida, all the way to St. Louis, smooth as can be. I love that car. That's one of the best cars I've ever had, and by far the best American car I've ever had. So have yourself a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.